You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Scam Wow!
I'm Caitlin Brown.
And I'm Sue Smith.
And we love scams.
Wait, I have a good scam this week that I found that I have wanted to tell everybody about.
Tell me. Okay. You want to tell me right away?
Yeah, let me tell you. It's not a scam. It's just coupons, basically.
So tell me the ways.
So I was in the line to check out at my local grocery store, Pavilions, mm-hmm. and someone mentioned to the cashier about the Pavilions apps. So if you got the app, there's extra discounts on the app. So it's Pavilions, Vons, Albertsons, and maybe Ralph. They have an app where there are extra coupons called Just For You. So you get your card coupons from like swiping your card. But if you have the app and you put these things on your list, it links to your cards and you get extra savings. So this week at the grocery store, I fucking saved $44. What the fuck?
That's so much money.
20%. Yes, bitch. Yes, I'm a coupon fucking queen.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
I think actually Target has that if you do their app. Because my mom was there, we had coupons, and then she also like pulled out her Target app and got more from it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They're like secret coupons. So if you have Vons and get the Vons app, it's fucking killer. You got to do it.
Okay.
All right.
I'm doing it. I don't live near any of those grocery stores, but I'm just going to get the app.
I'm sure you have a good app where you are too.
I need to figure it out. Key Food,
Seatown, Gristiti's,
Bodega, Metro Food. Yeah.
Before we get into our scam this week, we have a hot tip from a little lady called My Mom. She sent me an article about the Grammys, which I think we should call the Scammies from now on. Only fitting. Apparently, Deborah Dugan, who was in charge of it, she was the chief executive of the Recording Academy, which hosts the Grammys, was removed less than 3 weeks after she filed a memo to its head of HR about concerns over voting irregularities and financial mismanagement. So she was like, there's shit going on here. You guys are not good. Your voting is weird and you're managing the money weird. And she told HR about it and then she got in trouble and she got fired. So yeah, keep your mouth shut at work, ladies. If you want to keep your job, shut your cute little mouth. That's the moral of the story. But anyway, my mom sent a great HuffPo article on it, on the whole thing, and it goes into a lot of depth, and it's really infuriating because she basically is trying to fight the male board and trying to like do what's right, and she gets ousted for that, and it sucks, and it's so freaking annoying, and I hate that. But, you know, keep your, in the words of Ani DeFranco, smile pretty and watch your back, and you'll be good at your jobs. Anyway, that's in the show notes. Okay, love you. Bye. Here's our scam. Bye. Okay.
All right, you got a good scam for us?
Guys, oh my God. This scam, we were alerted about this scam from one of our listeners. Thank you so much. And she is from Australia and was like, have you guys heard about this crazy woman who faked cancer? And it was such a big deal here. And I had no clue. I had no clue. And it's still going on. Like, she's still in court right now. It started, all this shit started in 2013. It was really, she really gained her fame. And then it's, there are Daily Mail articles and everything out now, and it's still happening, and she's still like running.
I love an Australian crime situation. They have the weirdest, most fucked up crimes, and also I love a cancer scam.
It has everything you could want. It's devastating. It's fascinating. She's beautiful. Like, it's so crazy. Also, her name is Annabelle Bell Gibson, but in Australia, Sue and I watched this great 60 Minutes interview, and they kept saying Bell, and it sounded like they said Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson is what it sounds like, but it's Bell Gibson. When we were talking the other night, you mentioned it. I was like, Mel Gibson.
Yeah, it sounds like Mel Gibson.
Passion
he also
Christ.
Is a shithead. But no. So Sue and I watched this. The only thing Sue knows, because I cannot wait to blow your mind, was this amazing interview done by 60 Minutes Australia with the journalist Tara Brown. And she is our new hero, guys.
Tara Brown is amazing.
Incredible. She asks these questions where she's just like, well, you're a liar. She flat out is like, well, that's a lie. And she's like, no. Like, oh, we're going to link the interview. You have to watch
you
it.
Have
it's
to.
Fascinating. I put it on for my husband to be like, watch the first five, like literally 2 minutes, because I loved it. And he sat and watched the entire thing.
I think because she is just a mean mom to her. And she doesn't try to be her friend. And she doesn't try to be nice. She's just like, why did you lie?
Yes.
You're
and
lying.
Also, and what's so interesting too is that you can see the interviewer has such, she is justifiably correct.
Yeah.
So she has such justification of being like, no, we all know you're bullshitting. And so there's no apology. There's no like beating around the bush. She just like runs in that bush, lights it on fire. It's the best interview ever.
There's no alternative facts, nothing. Mm-mm. It's just a fiery bush. I love.
It's so good. Okay.
Tell me.
So let me explain. So this woman, Belle Gibson, Mel Gibson, she also has apparently had multiple birth certificates, multiple names on different tax returns. So right now we're going with Belle Gibson because that's her most recent one. And that's the one that are in her court documents.
Okay.
So she created a really successful app and cookbook after telling the world that she had fatal brain cancer and was surviving in spite of the fact that she had a 4-month life expectancy. And she was touting alternative health methods and various therapies and the Gerson therapy. She was a huge supporter of, and her diet. And so it was actually really interesting. In 2013, the Whole Pantry, which was her app, was one of the first health apps to hit Apple apps.
I think I had that.
Yeah. It was a big deal. She was also one of the big first health gurus. And then Apple loved her and had her as part of their watch campaign. When they launched the Apple Watch, they had her a part of that. Yeah. So her app was, it's really successful. And then she came out with a cookbook afterwards. And then you could buy and pay like over $3 for the app to have the cookbook recipes. So it was said that in 2015, she made over $1 million with all of that. With her app, cookbook, and cookbook recipes.
And her authority is that she had brain cancer, but she cured it with
through these
food.
Alternative methods.
Yeah.
Yes. She also wrote all of this on her successful blog, and then she put all of this a lot on Instagram, and she said that all of this was caused by the vaccine Gardasil. That's what gave her the brain cancer.
Is that HPV?
Mm-hmm. Which is completely not true. And she also, at this time, so in Australia, raw unpasteurized cow's milk is illegal because there's been so many deaths with it, and you must vaccinate your kids. All of these things are illegal. So she was very anti-vax, anti-pasteurized milk. So she said she did all of this stuff and that it helped stop her cancer.
Well, okay. So in US, I think unpasteurized milk, I don't know if it's illegal, but it's not cool either.
It's not great for you. I don't know. But then also, so, and here's the funny thing. In 2009, 10, 11, were all of these documentaries, I remember on Netflix, mm-hmm. about how like health and the Gerson therapies, and there were tons and tons and tons of documentaries about how leading health and nutrition will really change your life, yeah. and make you feel so much better. But if you look on, just to look at the Gerson therapy, if I go to Cancer Search, sorry, if I've, I go to
I've never heard, cancer heard research, of this Gerson thing. What is it?
I have. I was looking at it like, what, Kate, were you going to say? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm Kate, what do you got about milk? You got milk?
Yeah.
Just a small fact about milk. In the U.S., unpasteurized milk is illegal to transport across state lines, but it's not illegal if it stays within the state.
Okay, so I'm just going to clarify what the Gerson therapy is.
Yeah.
This is from cancerresearch.uk. So it involves a specific organic vegetarian diet with nutritional supplements and enemas. And there's no specific evidence that it's used as treatment for cancer. It says it was created by a German doctor called Max Gerson, who developed the Gerson therapy in 1920 and 1930. He claimed it helped cure his migraine headaches. So he went to use it to treat other diseases such as tuberculosis and cancer.
Do we know what the enemas are?
They're coffee or castor oil enemas.
No, coffee enemas. That's so bad. Yeah.
People following the therapy have to eat large quantities of fruit and vegetables. It's believed that by doing so, it'll restore the right balance. This might have been what Steve Jobs was on or did something. They say it'll cleanse your liver and believe that coffee enemas help further to excrete toxins from the liver and colon.
Listen, coffee already makes you poop. You don't have to shove it up your butt.
I know. Okay, it says in the diet, it's a strict low-salt organic food diet. Each day you will need to drink 20 pounds, that's 9 kilos, of crushed fruit and vegetables, one glass of juice hourly, so 13 times a day, have 3 to 4 coffee enemas or castor oil enemas, and take potassium and other supplements, including vitamin B12, pancreatic enzymes, and thyroid supplements. So the side effects are infections, dehydrations, heart and lung problems, loss of appetite, diarrhea, sickness. I mean, it's really, really, really intense.
But a normal vegetarian diet, great. Great for you.
Great for you.
Great for the planet.
I think what's so confusing is eating healthy can solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, like totally.
Eating healthy can help you with diabetes and other things. And cancer, this is me getting into my cancer stuff, but cancer grows on sugar and other nutrients. You can like basically feed the cancer cells in a way. And I'm not a doctor, but this is what I've studied. And so if you cut out cancer, a lot of doctors say that's like, if you cut out sugar, that's really helpful when you're working and battling cancer.
Got it.
But I haven't had it, so I haven't had firsthand experience, but I've read that. Researchers in the UK did a study of 6 patients in 2007. They found that this type of therapy seemed to help people feel better emotionally. It also reduced their need for painkillers. But this number of patients are very small, so these findings are not reliable. The researchers suggested that a clinical trial is necessary. This way it will be possible to see if Gerson therapy works as a cancer treatment. So people have it almost, I don't want to say placebo effect because I think it does actually help you eating better, you know. But I don't know if this extreme therapy, it hasn't been shown to completely cure cancer. So Bell was good friends with this. She said she was good friends in her book with Jess Ainscough. She's AKA the Wellness Warrior. She's a social media influencer and was diagnosed with an extremely rare, slow-growing form of inoperable cancer at 21. And she died at 29.
Mm.
Yeah, it's incredibly sad. And I don't know.
So it sounds like Bell Gibson faked cancer as a marketing technique?
No, that's what's so confusing. And we'll get into that.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. So I'll just say, so this is the package she sold everyone.
Okay.
But if we look into her history, she claimed that in 2009, she had to undergo multiple heart surgeries. She died twice on the operating table. And she told people this in an online forum, saying also that she just woke up after a coma. And she said that the doctor said she went into cardiac arrest and died for 3 minutes. She was dead. Now, this is a skateboarding forum. She was a part of the community in 2009. And she had like an outpour of people that were so concerned, worried, like, how are you on your computer in a hospital? And her mother has said that she used to fall asleep with her computer next to her and like lived for this. So
So she wanted all the fucking hot skater boys to take her seriously and feel bad for her. So she was like, hey, I died. Yeah. And they're like, cool. Yeah. I'm so glad. Yeah. I love you.
Pretty much, okay. Yes. So in 2019, she said that a doctor told her that she had terminal brain cancer. She had her son. She got pregnant and had a child when she was 19 years old in 2010. And 2011, she went to the only like actual medical information, medical paper we have. She went to a real hospital saying that she's has a brain tumor and that she thought she might have MS. And she went and had a scan and they did a 40-minute consultation to tell her she's perfectly healthy. There's no brain tumor. There's no sign of MS. Regardless, she launches her Instagram Healing Bell, sharing with everyone that she's a young, struggling mom to overcome this malignant form of brain cancer. So she releases the app in 2013. It's downloaded more than 300,000 times in the first month. She stated in her foreword of her book that she's turning her back on the medical industry and she shocked her doctors and that she has about 6 weeks to live, but it's been 6 months after. One second. She also explained that she had a horrible childhood. She's out of touch with her father, a horrible mother. She had a stalker. She was solely responsible for her autistic brother. And then at 5 years old, she had to take care of herself. And at 12 years old, she left home and she did the cooking and cleaning of her home. So this is all in the foreword of her book. She also states that she was on chemo and radiation, and she pulled herself out of treatment. Her doctors were freaked out, and she now embraces alternative therapies because she empowers herself to save her own life through nutrition, patience, determination, and love. In 2014, she went on Instagram saying, in 2013, she's saying she cured her cancer, basically. She's wonderful. She's free. She's completely cancer-free. March 2014, she went on Instagram saying that she had undergone testing for two neurological cancers. And in 2014, she states on social media, "It's with frustration, ache in my heart. It pains me to find the space tonight to tell you all with love and strength that I've been diagnosed with third and fourth cancers." Yeah. In 2014, Penguin's imprint Lantern, their like cookbook group, released her cookbook, A Whole Pantry. She said that her cancer has spread to her blood, spleen, brain, uterus, and liver.
What?
And the way the doctor diagnosed her first cancer was that he put a box, a light box, where it had a light under her seat and behind her back, and he shone light through her body. It was a German technology, and that determined she had brain cancer. And then she claimed another doctor told her that all of the other cancers came back. It turns out this was a real doctor. Like, they looked it up. It was a real person. But he said that he did not give her this information because he's not at all qualified to do that.
Oh, my God. So do we have documentation of any of this?
No, she has none of this. And all paperwork says it's false.
Crazy. And also, if she had all that cancer that spread, then obviously her dumb diet isn't working.
Also, she would just melt. Like, I think she just like would be like a puddle of a person. Like, that is so intense.
I mean, if your bones and your spleen and your blood all has cancer, your liver, you're gonna melt.
I mean, maybe she thinks cancer means like oxygen, like, or like elements or minerals.
Cells.
So yeah, and this is incredibly upsetting. This is just really heartbreaking. So she went on to TV shows, she did interviews, and she worked personally with families with children that had fatal cancers.
No.
And she would, yeah. And she would go to their houses. She would cry on their shoulders. It was just the most horrible thing you could imagine. On February 27th, 2014, she did an interview in a morning show in Australia. And the interviewee says, "Wow, you look so great for someone who's had cancer. What's your tip for looking so healthy?" And there she is chatting off like she's fine. In November 2014, she won the Cosmo Fun Fearless Female Award.
No!
People are literally awarding her without any information.
Oh my God.
But at the end, late 2014, Elle received an anonymous letter that she is a compulsive liar and she doesn't have cancer. And then at the end of 2014, again, at that time, her friends decided they want to stage an intervention because they think something is off. So this is a great, great story that I have. The Herald Sun revealed that they spoke to her friends and that they started to have doubts over her story. She apparently was a high school dropout and worked at a catering supply company, but her staff described her as a lost soul. They said she was a bit out there. She was a bit disturbed and would come in with some really vivid stories. She really didn't have any family or friends and just used to hang on people. Aww. According to Fairfax Media, she admitted to her diagnosis was questionable to a former friend. I asked her when she got her diagnosis and she said she didn't know. I asked her who gave her her diagnosis and she said, Dr. Phil.
I can't. I mean, but Dr. Phil is very qualified in all areas of doctoring.
He can see your brain. I asked if Dr. Phil had a last name and she said she didn't know. He disappeared. I asked her where she saw Dr. Phil and she said he came and picked her up from her house.
Oh my God.
So again, the Sydney Morning Herald reports that a leading Melbourne neurosurgeon, Andrew Kay, says that Miss Gibson's story of surviving malignant brain cancer doesn't add up. He said that it was extremely unlikely for malignant brain cancer to spread in the manner that she described. There's a very occasional case out of many, many thousands that have a spontaneous regression, but I've never seen that. And I wouldn't believe any of this unless I saw a pathology report with my own eyes and the pathology itself, because none of that existed. People are realizing that the seams are sort of cracking, and she continues to tell people, no, that's what I believe. I had it. I was told by this doctor. Sometimes in her book, she said she went to a doctor's office. And then in this great interview with Tara, she said that she went, he came and picked her up at her house. Like, everything keeps changing. Gosh. And the way that people could sort of crack down on this is throughout this whole time, she has declared that she has, based on her millions, a million dollar maid, she is giving $300,000 to charities. And she's writing down the charities and she's publicly describing how much money she's giving to each charity and personal children, like children with cancer, to their families. So she's getting this fundraiser and she's making all of this money. And The Age in Australia said they released an investigation into the charity claims because out of the $300,000, she had only given
$7,000. No!
And then, yep. And then the second that this investigation started, she gave another $3,000 away. So in total, she only gave $10,000 and claimed $300,000. And that was when you really could make this a case. Like hearsay, this and that, somebody who seems sort of delusional, emotional, manipulative. This is when it became sort of something more concrete that they could get into.
Damn, what a crazy scammer. I'm trying to look for her social media. Do you know, like, kind of like how influential she was by any chance, or like
huge, huge? Yeah, I think I have that.
Like, if she had a, but I think this was before Instagram.
Healing Bell.
What?
No, it was on 2013. She created her Instagram Healing Bell.
Healing Bell. Let me see if it's.
And again, she was like one of the early Instagrammers.
Let me see.
When she was asked about this, she blamed the lack of money spent to charities on her shitty business managers.
Oh no.
So the second this came out, her publisher dropped her, Apple removed her app, and Apple removed her from the promo of the iPhone. And Penguin agreed to pay $30,000 to the Victorian Consumer Law Fund as a penalty for failing to validate a factual content of the
book.
That's
good.
Because, yeah, but they fucking didn't even check. So on her app and social media accounts, all of a sudden, all these comments started becoming deleted. Any negative comments, anything questioning her, all of that got erased and deleted. On March 9th, Australian publishers interviewed her, and she admits her cancers were misdiagnosed by a nameless German doctor. In April 2015, in an extensive interview, she admitted she never had cancer to the Australian Women's Weekly.
She did?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But she said it was because of her deceitful upbringing, her neglect by her now estranged mother, claiming having been forced to take care of herself and her brother since age 5. Everyone is saying that this interview, even though it's an admission of deceit, she is never at all apologizing. There's no remorse there. So on May 6, 2015, the court proceedings start. Consumer Affairs Victoria brought legal action against Gibson for an allegedly breaking Australian consumer law. In June 2016, she fails to appear in court, and she was spotted somewhere looking carefree and cocktail in hand at a pricey Melbourne theme bar. Mm-hmm. In June 26, 2016, she appears on the 60 Minutes interview that really sparks rumors and questions. In September 2016, the Melbourne Federal Court has presented with medical records that she has no reasonable basis for believing that she has cancer, and she also failed to attend to court. On March 2017, federal court released the verdict of the case. They found her guilty of most, but not all, charges against her, and she faces up to $1 million fine. Now,
what year is this?
That wasn't. This is March 2017. Okay, so the federal court justice, Deborah Mortimer, is pretty badass. She decided most, but not all, of her claims were proven that she's guilty. She found Ms. Gibson as being misleading and deceptive for her claims of being able to cure terminal cancer via natural remedies.
I love a badass judge. Badass lady judge. Hell yeah.
Me too. Mortimer has said Ms. Gibson had no reasonable basis for believing she had cancer for the time she'd been making these claims in public to promote the Whole Pantry book and the apps in the mid-2013. She said Ms. Gibson's reasons behind her explanation of her cancer diagnosis by an unqualified medical practitioner were neither reasonable nor rational, but said that Ms. Gibson may have suffered a series of delusions about her health condition. She also said Gibson had deceptive and misleading representations surrounding donations to charities. The judge said she played on the empathy and generosity of the Australian community. Her pitch overwhelmingly used groups likely to evoke sympathy because of her vulnerabilities, young girls, asylum seekers, and young children, she said. And Gibson, of course, did not appear in court for that. But in also, though, through all of this, there isn't enough evidence to prove that she was not acting out of delusion. So it's very confusing.
So you mean about like her mental well-being and her mental
mm-hmm,
health?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The federal court justice, Deborah Mortimer, warned her that if her failure to pay would make her liable for jail. The judge also described her as someone who has a relentless obsession with herself. That's pretty incredible. So she was fined $410,000 Australian dollars for making false claims about her donations to charity. As of April 2019, Gibson had not yet paid the fine. Authorities were seeking power to charge her with contempt of court. A new trial was set for May 14th, and she faced an undetermined number of years in jail if she didn't attend. June 2019, she finally arrived in court, and she claimed that she was broke and living off child support and could not pay the fine because she was bankrupt. So in all these court documents, she has reported that her income in 2016 was just $15,000. 2017, she reported just $20,000, but it was shown that she actually spent over $90,000 in both of those years. And then between 2017 and 2019, she spent over $91,000. And when they told her this, she said, "I don't believe your figure is correct." That's just what she said.
God.
Like, I wish I could just be like, they were like, "You robbed a bank." I don't believe that figure is correct. I just don't believe it's correct.
And now it's time for a quick break. Guys, when you're supposed to have kids, no one ever tells you when you're supposed to do it. Everyone only tells you when you're not supposed to do it. So thankfully, Modern Fertility is here. It's the easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days. Traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000, but Modern Fertility only costs $159 to get the same information. And if you go to modernfertility.com/scam, you can get $20 off your test. Also, if you have HSA or FSA, you can use those dollars on Modern Fertility as well. You'll get insight into how many eggs you have, hormone levels, and any reproductive red flags. The results go in depth into what every hormone means, and you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps. If you want to have kids today or maybe one day, you need information to make the decision that's right for you. And I got my little kit. It's really cute. It comes in cute little packaging, which I know is important to all of us. Like, if it's not cute, why are we even doing it? I just have to wait until my period. Like, I have to test myself on the third day of my period. So I'll update you guys maybe with my results. I don't know if that's oversharing, but I'll keep you posted. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/scam. That means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or even thousands it could cost at the doctor's office. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/scam. modernfertility.com/scam. And we're back. So About all her childhood stuff, she's lying about that. About
We're gonna get there.
Okay,
we're gonna get there. Okay. Yeah. I'm just finishing these accounts on her really quick. So in 2017, she took a trip to Bali to leave her situation here in Melbourne. Her account shows that people had sent her money. She also claimed that she did services and ran errands for other people, that she was on a thing like TaskRabbit, which I haven't looked into, but I think she was extorting or taking too much money from this older woman on TaskRabbit. Now she's kicked off to, like, it's the Australian TaskRabbit version. And she said, I am no longer able to use the platform. I am uncertain why. Because she's a horrible person. Oh my gosh. She was spotted at a Melbourne airport during this time in 2019, coming home from a 5-week luxury holiday stay in Africa with an estimated cost of $15,000, which she claimed was a gift. Wow. And her barrister, Andrew, well, I can't say his name. Her barrister, Andrew T.
What's a barrister?
Barrister is, I think, like a lawyer. Mm. Her barrister, Andrew Tregard, previously said that the client could not afford to keep coming back to court. So Consumer Affairs has now has 6 months to push for Gibson to be declared bankrupt or see if they can get the funds another way.
Oh my gosh.
As of mid-September 2019, she still had not paid, claiming to be broke. And on my birthday, September 14th, Daily Mail reported that she was a prisoner in her own home. Oh. And she refuses to pay 1 cent of the fine.
She hasn't even tried?
She still lives there. No. She lives with her 8-year-old son, no, now 10-year-old son, and her partner, Clive Rothwell. And so it's been thought that Clive has been spending or been paying for a lot of things.
Feet.
And has been paying, yeah, paying for everything, been putting money into her account. So she might actually not have made money.
Do we know, is Clive Rothwell like a rich little daddy or what is his deal?
He's rich, but he is kind of like out of the picture. He's not really, I think he's rich from tech companies.
Oh, then he's really rich.
Yeah, he's basically bankrolling her lifestyle.
Good for her. Mm-hmm. She's like an Elizabeth mm-hmm. whatever from Theranos.
Mm-hmm. She reminds Holmes. Me of Anna Delvey a little bit too. That also to court, she's wearing these like thick glasses and like a very Audrey Hepburn looking like do and just looking very chic and rich, which is kind of insane.
She is definitely an Anna Delvey, but Anna Delvey preyed on rich people. I think when people prey on poor people and prey on people
who are
medically vulnerable, that's awful. And those are bad, bad scams.
So apparently Rothwell paid for her legal fees, including $5,500 for lawyers who represented her in federal court. He paid for her long month trip to Africa, Singapore, and all of her flights and accommodation.
She better lock him down.
She better suck that dick.
She better suck that dick.
Gibson claimed that she did not know what Mr. Rothwell did for a living or what he earned. Stop. It's not my business, she said.
Oh my God.
She denied that the pair were engaged.
Mm-hmm. Well, I found a LinkedIn profile for Clive Rothwell, and it says he's a scrum master at RMIT University. I have no idea what a scrum master is.
I don't. That could be somebody else. That could be a different Clive Rothwell. I feel like that's somebody. It's like someone who runs boats or something. I don't
scrum
know.
Master? I don't know. It sounds dirty. Whatever it is.
Based on this article, it's a rugby affiliated term.
Oh, got it. Got it. Got it.
But that is his LinkedIn.
It is his LinkedIn. Oh. He's the scrum master. Oh.
He is.
Hot little scrum master.
She's quoted by saying, the stockings I'm wearing, I bought the other day. So she bought her own stockings. So she basically, whenever she's asked any question, she's just like, you know, I don't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. And she's very comfortable just constantly saying like, well, I don't agree with you and I can't help you there. It's kind of fascinating. It's sort of like a Billy McFarlane of just fully believing mm-hmm. that they just actively deny. Now let's talk about the tragic stuff. I'm going to get to her family at the end because her family shit is weird.
Well, I was just going to say in that 60 Minutes interview when the woman, Tara, was asking her the questions, it literally, like, you could see her brain short circuiting through her eyes. She'd be like, are you lying? And her face, she just couldn't comprehend that she was a horrible lying scammer, which she is.
And she was just smiling. Mm-hmm. She kept saying like, no, I was a victim to this. I was a victim to this. And Tara's like, yeah, but you were a victim because you lied to yourself. You weren't a victim because no doctor was real. A doctor didn't tell you this. She's like, I know, that's what I believed. And she's like, You lied. What do you mean? You had like, it's not, you didn't believe it because no one lied to you. You told yourself. You're a victim of your own thing. You're not a victim here as some like poor person unless.
So is you think it of, like a Munchausen situation?
Yeah. And they ask that in the interview and she's like, no way. That is for people who make up things and convince themselves they're sick. And she literally explains her entire experience. She goes, there's no way I have Munchausen. That is completely wrong. But I did believe I had something and then I didn't.
But I did make up a disease to get attention.
Yeah. And she goes, you lied to all these people. She's like, yeah, because I thought I was right. She's like, you don't look like, she goes, and the Tara's so funny. She's like, well, don't you think, not to be crass, but like he said you had a 4-month life expectancy and you're living a lot longer than that. You're not dead, basically. And she's like, yeah, it's crazy. And it's like, no, you just don't have cancer. It's not crazy. It's not crazy.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So, do you want to hear all the horrible, sad things of all the people that she, I don't know, guys. This is, I did cry when I read this.
Just give me a few.
Okay. So there's a mother and father of this lovely little boy. And he, his name was Josh. And he had a very horrible, real cancer, and he had an enormous brain tumor in his head, and he went and did he was diagnosed in November 2013 with an anaplastic a big brain tumor caused by a rare genetic disorder. And they said that conventional treatments, radiation and chemotherapy wouldn't actually work for him, because to remove the tumor, because it was so big, it would really be incredibly damaging and leave him likely in a vegetative state. And they said he just has 4 months to live. So, okay. So the family, wait, really quick, the family's saying they'll do whatever it takes. And they go to multiple clinics. And they do, this family does go to Germany. And they are trying different measures. And this little boy is doing okay. Like, it's not horrible. And they're saying in this interview, he says that he has a little bug in his brain and that he's acting like it's like a little beetle that's in his way. And he's doing fabulous. And he's running around the house and happy. And so she befriends this family, sits with them, cries with them, has her kid and him play together. Asks, the mother says it was really weird because she asked so many details and questions about Joshie's cancer and treatments. And she said, I think that was to give herself more credibility. And sadly, he died. And I think he died not 4 months after. He lasted a couple years, which was really great. And it's just incredibly sad. There's a whole, yeah. So he was diagnosed in 2013 with a 4-month life expectancy, and he died in 2017. So he lasted 4 years, which is really special. Yeah, and whatever the therapies he did were working for him. It's just incredibly heartbreaking. So now the parents are coming out, and they couldn't believe that she was fraud. And she said, "We can't think but help. Did she use us to get in the mind of Joshua?" So fucking creepy. Okay, so then she also, this other woman has said, a mother of three, Kylie Wiley.
Kylie Wiley. Wiley Kylie.
KYLIEWILLEY. Killy Willy. Okay.
I don't know.
Mother of three.
Kylie Wiley.
Kylie Wiley refused. I'm sorry. Miss Wiley.
I don't want to say it.
Mother of three, Kay Wiley, refused conventional treatment for leukemia for 2 weeks following Miss Gibson's self-help guide.
No!
So this woman turned down her leukemia treatment. She said, I'm so angry at her for making me feel like a fool, for taking my money when I donated to her because I thought her cause and bought her books and apps. She told Nine News in Australia, you're at the depths of despair. You're looking for any alternative for the horror you're going through when you go through cancer treatment. It's like nothing I can ever explain. It's the worst time of my life. And it was horrible. She totally preyed on me, which is 100%. And that's what the judge said. Like, she's just preying on these people. So this woman is, we can't figure out, does she want to do it for attention? Does she really think she has it? Does she have Munchausen's? Like, all these different things. So the same week that the Consumer Affairs Victoria decided that she might face a $1 million fine, she goes into Facebook under another alias as Harry Gibson to tell everybody that she's been following the master fat system for the past 11 days.
Are you serious?
Yes. She said a huge ropeworm was released after an enema. She said herbal tea and activated charcoal in this cleanse, which help people, quote, without hope, who've, quote, been given a death sentence by healing the body.
No, 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 no.
So the court is releasing this, and she's so compulsed that she has to go through. She also said that it helped as this person, which is a man's name, right? Harry Gibson. She said that it helped her lose 4 kilos, along with some more benefits, including healing tooth cavities and changing her eye color.
What?
And that, there's more proof of her with these fake aliases. There are screenshots of her being this than any other medical thing.
Oh, my God.
So she was so compulsed to get on here that she had to say, I just cannot believe. She had to, like, make up an alias as another man. And she also apparently during this, like, would make up other aliases to combat people that were criticizing her on Facebook and saying, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, that's guaranteed. But this just blew my
mind. That's insane. Mm-hmm. Like,
she cannot stop. And she's literally sinking. And she's like, let me tell people this will save their life. It's so confusing. So Australian Women's Weekly editor Helen Maccabee had spent a lot of time with Belle. She did an extensive interview, which she never paid Belle for, and then did another, like, a follow-up interview. And she said that Maccabee said that she said, I've been very worried about Belle. I spent a lot of time with her and her family trying to find out where the truth lay, and it turns out it's not really there. Not being able to even say her own age is a typical example of the trouble with this story. So Belle was telling people she was 3 years older than she actually was. And then on this 60-minute interview, the interviewer's like, no, you're 3 years younger. And she's like, well, that's according to the most recent, you know, birth certificate. And she's like, I have so many. But apparently it's true. Her mother has admitted she has multiple birth certificates.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Maccabee said, after spending time with her, what we uncovered is even more riveting, but the angles left are impossible to prove. The difficult thing is that her name has been changed a number of times. At one point, she said that her mother was in witness protection, but that turned out to be not true. They did check her current birth certificate. That was real. The editor said, I'm not a doctor, but I think there are some serious issues around her mental health. I hope she gets help. And she also said, watching the 60 Minutes interview, I don't know if she really apologized or not. It was a brilliant interview by Tara, but I don't think that's where Belle is at the moment. I'm not sure if she even knows what is and isn't real. Things are more complicated than that. So this is what's super, super confusing. It reminded me of the Instagram baby
catfish.
Yes, the Instagram baby catfish of somebody who just wants an incredible amount of attention. So these are the facts. She did actually leave home at 12. Okay. She said that she was forced to take care of her brother and mother, but her mother has slammed that and said it was a lot of rubbish. She said she practically worked herself into an early grave for that girl and gave her everything she wanted in life. So the mom's fighting back, said she's never worked a day in her life.
Oof.
The brother comes out to say he doesn't have autism. She was born in Launceston, Tasmania in 1991. Her family moved to Brisbane. She attended Wynnum State High School in mainly Brisbane, and she dropped out at 16 years old. So in a number of interviews, she also claimed to be homeschooled, and when she dropped out, she worked at a catering company, as I said earlier. Then she worked at an adult strip club to help them with industry nights and award nights for $25 an hour. So she didn't work as a stripper. She worked, like, to help the strip club organize like an event. Yeah. At 17, she moved to Melbourne, where she was pregnant and had her first and only son. And so this is what's so freaking weird. Her and her mother had been estranged. She hadn't talked at all. Then her mother comes out for an exclusive interview, Natalie Del Bello, to say, and at first she says that her current husband, Andrew, was Belle's father. She said they had a relationship more than 2 decades ago and separated and then reunited. Later, she recanted that, admitting that Andrew is not Belle's father and there was no relationship 20 years ago. And she now says that Belle's father was simply a sperm donor. So that's the first red flag, is that the mom is lying right away. Then she says that she, you know, Belle says that she was forced to run the household. The mother denies that. And so I don't know if this is just hearsay. The mom's saying she's completely offended and disgusted in her daughter, which...
what did she do when she left the house at 12?
So this is the insanely sad part. Okay. So both the mother and her brother, Nick, said that when she was 12, she struck up a friendship while in primary school in Brisbane with a man in his 60s. She moved into his apartment, and her mother and brother say that Belle moved while in her first year of high school. So what mother is allowing her 12-year-old daughter to move in with a 60-year-old man? That is when I believe the damage is solidified. Like, that is... And if she moved out when she was 12, the mother is reported saying she was constantly on her computer, constantly on Facebook. So that was under 12 years old. She's still a minor. I just can't help but think of, like, I mean, there's got to be some fucked up sex stuff. There's just, I mean, you're, it's weird. The family still says they would love to see her. They want to reconnect with her. Her brother says he'd like to see her again, but he can never forgive her. He wants to know, what did I do to deserve this? Why'd you do this to our family? So this is what.
This is wild.
This is what is. Yeah. This is the part that it was like, I don't think she's a, she could be a victim of child abuse. Sexual abuse. She could have been like a servant for this man. Like, we don't know. A 60-year-old and a 12-year-old, you don't know. You hope it's like a loving friendship. But the way that this child turned into really a sociopath and somebody who needed such extreme response and to be praised. It's interesting when you look at interviews with her, when people are praising her for her health, she looks so good. It's like she's being told for the first time that, like, daddy loves you, or you got a great grade on that paper. Like, it almost seemed that this was the only way in her life that she had ever received an admiration of something she felt that she earned and worked hard for, which is super, super confusing. And the part that made me so nauseous is in the 60-minute interview, and we're linking it, Tara's saying to her, you know, people gave up conventional treatment for your path. Like, people stopped for you. And she said, these people who cried for you. And the second she says that, if you look at Belle's face, she has this tiny little turn up on her cheeks, like this tiny smile. And you can tell she loved that people cried for her. She loved it. She loved being this martyr. And I think it's just, it's really gross. It's really disgusting. I don't know what kind of demons she's fighting, because shit went down when she was 12 years old. That really was like the turning stone for me when I looked at her story. It says she has 2 birth certificates, changed her name 4 to 5 times. There's a quote that, okay, so Tara says, you say that you were in the doctor's office, but you just admitted to me in this interview he came to your house. And she says, Belle goes, I didn't see him in his doctor's office in Perth. And interviewer goes, you didn't see him because he doesn't have a doctor's office, does he?
Oh my God.
She's like, no. She said, would you accept that you're a pathological liar? Belle said, no. Apparently, according to Belle's mother and her, she does have a heart condition that one day she could get surgery for. Doesn't seem to be stopping her. Also, Tara's just so good. She said, in 2013, you go on Instagram and you say, I've been healing a severe and malignant cancer for the past few years with natural medicine, Gerson therapy, and foods. It's working for me. And Belle says, it is. And Tara says, except you didn't have brain cancer. And Belle says, no, I didn't. But when I was writing that, I thought I did. And I was feeling well. Oh my God. She's like, yeah, of course you were. Oh, you guys.
I think... the moral of this is that, like, you gotta fucking research your gurus, man.
Yes.
You gotta, like, go, I mean, and see
and
if they're telling
the truth.
This
is what's so fucking frustrating. She's a pretty blonde girl with an accent. She's going on interviews in the US. She's going on interviews all over Australia. Like, she's just pretty and innocent looking, and people just believed her immediately. She has had, I'm sure she's had a horrible life, but based on her looks and attitude and demeanor, people just believed her. And that's Elizabeth Holmes, that's like all these women, Anna Delvey, Caroline Calloway, all roads lead to her. So it's just, it's pretty fascinating, but I think there's an extremely sick person in
it. Sounds like it.
And she's sort of baffled and cannot believe that she'd be called on this shit, But then she's like, yeah, I did lie. Like, she can't believe it. And then, yeah, it's
you can't
insane.
Take anything when it comes to health stuff at face value. You have to do your own research.
No.
Somebody sent me a YouTube video with a dietitian who was like very, like, her whole marketing and everything looked amazing, but she was advocating for an MLM. I think it was like Plexus or one of those drinks, those health mm-hmm. drinks. And she was like a regular dietitian, which is not good. Mm-hmm. So like, you can't Mm-mm. just take anybody at their face value for what they believe in, and you have no. to question everything. It's crazy. Good. I've been listening to the podcast The Dream. Have you listened to that? It's pretty good. It's about scams, and their second season is about testing like essential oils and stuff like and wellness products to see if they actually work. And the episode that I just listened to was about essential oils, and they talked to a doctor about it, and they said that like a placebo effect is actually very strong.
Great.
Like very, like you can have results from a placebo effect.
Yeah, and I think you can. And there's a lot of people that I've read and heard about, people going through cancer that have a mind shift, and there's a lot of like mind over mm-hmm. matter and belief. And my aunt was given a really terrible pancreatic diagnosis, and she ended up living many, many years afterwards. And she just had this wonderful outlook, and though it was terrible and like horrible for all of us, and my sister was there like calling her every day and it was excruciating, she had this point of view and this mindset, and it really helped her stay healthier longer. So I do think that that's a really healthy thing, but I don't know. I don't trust this psychopath woman with no sources Mm-mm. checked. It's really upsetting. And the problem is that it is talking about, she did prey on people, because when you do, I assume when you're diagnosed, all you want is to focus on the hope and the positive story, and that you're going to get out of this, and it's not going to be your life forever. Yeah. That this isn't going to be the way it always is. And so she was literally handing people exactly what they were hoping for. And it was all a lie. So sad.
Oh my God. Thank you for going
I
into
really
this
hate
world.
Her. You're welcome. And I'm never coming back.
Let's all go get coffee enemas, huh?
Yes. Go get an ice cream. Like we said, get yourself a cupcake and sit down.
Get a coffee enema. Shove it in your butt.
Shove it in your butt. I'm sure Gwyneth Paltrow or somebody else loves coffee
enemas. I've heard of them before.
I'm sure they're fine.
Yeah, that's a thing.
You've
used them? Oh, God, no.
No. I thought you
did. I've heard of them.
Heard of
I've
them.
Never
okay.
shoved anything in my butt, unfortunately.
Just if I can have a small producer's corner, which could be totally
no.
I don't care. But we were talking about, I was talking with someone about Goop recently, and I was ranting and raving like, oh, how dare she? And like, she does things that are so bad for your vagina, because you can get like a yeast infection from vaginal steaming.
You can?
And I was just, it offsets the pH. Anyway, and I was ranting and raving, and this person was listening very kindly, and then they said, you know, yeah, like it is all fake science, but also women often go into doctor's offices and say like, hey, I'm in pain, or hey, I have this thing, and like aren't listened to or gaslighted, or they aren't treated well because a lot of medicine is based off of men's health. And so they basically were like, you know, imagine you spend your life being told that like your pain isn't real and that the things that you're worried about don't matter. And then you walk into like an Apple store and a beautiful woman walks up to you with a pink bottle and is like, this will make you feel better. And I believe you.
Oh.
I was like, wow, that's really
preying on women too.
Absolutely. What? Manipulating women. But it's also like, it's being born of, as much as I love science and medicine, it doesn't serve women all that much.
100%.
Sometimes.
I think it depends on your doctor.
Yeah.
Even like,
yeah.
True.
I don't think it's generally I wouldn't say, I think it is, there are a lot of things that haven't been adjusted and created and researched, and like ovarian cancer is like very slow moving and there's no real cure for it. But I do think that there's still more stuff than Gwyneth.
Oh, I mean.
I hate that.
I think it's more of a proponent of like, don't be like, medicine is wrong and I only want Goop.
No.
It's just the idea of like, Goop exists, like the demand for it exists for a reason that isn't just women are stupid.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
No,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. So the demand for it is very valid because nobody's taking women seriously in their health concern. Not nobody, but.
Yeah. It's complicated.
I'm reading a book called, I think it's a memoir called Educated by Tara Westover, and it's about growing up Mormon. And her mom makes essential oils and they don't believe in hospitals. And like, it's just so dumb. Or like, they just experience so much pain over and over again. And she talks about taking her first aspirin for the first time. And she had thought physical pain was just a part of life that she had to endure and accept from God. And it was wild. It's really wild. It's such a good book.
I'm just like a proponent of... instead of being like, oh, this doctor didn't treat me well and didn't listen to me, instead of being like, I'm going to do essential oils, I'm like, I'm going to find another doctor.
Totally.
I need four more doctors, you know.
Yes, mm-hmm. Find your doctor.
Get another doctor.
Yeah, just get another doctor.
Just get another doctor, mm-hmm. guys. It's okay. It's a bitch, but get another doctor.
You don't.
And then you can get a guru. You can get both.
But
get
like,
many.
Find another. You're allowed to disagree with your doctor.
Find the team that's right for you too. Like, find mm-hmm. what you want and what you need in a person who's giving you the care and support you need.
And also, legitimately, it is so annoying to find a doctor, research, find your insurance. That stuff isn't easy. Like, it is not easy. And we're not saying that it is, but we're saying that is. That's the way you take care of yourself.
And I think the healthcare system in Australia is pretty similar to our own.
No, I think it's
is it nationalized?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Imagine that everywhere else.
Interesting.
Yeah. So guys, check
your gurus.
And also, you're not at fault though. I think that's the important thing of these people that were duped. They aren't the ones at fault. They aren't the ones at fault. You are in a compromised position when you are going through a cancer treatment or you receive a diagnosis. It's not something that your mind isn't stable and normal at that point. You have a complete panic and freak out and you're looking for a way to solve the problem. It's like a fight or flight. And so none of these people are at fault that I believe that went through this.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm in bed, I have my retainers in, and I go to find images for Belle Gibson for this episode, and it turns out she's joined another group. She's joined the Oromo people, and she said that she's a part of their Ethiopian community. And you guys, I cannot keep up with this woman. So basically, officers came to her home to sell off her assets for her to pay back her fine, which she still hasn't. Instead, she joined the largest ethnic group in Ethiopia. Guys, this is so insane. I have to play you a clip from this psychopath. Here we go. She also copies the guy's accent when he's asking her questions. It's very weird. She speaks perfect English, but she breaks it down weirdly in this interview. This is in the Daily Mail.
Speaking some of the languages.
I think this was a gift that was, a blessing that was given to me, both by your people, but also a blessing from our Lord, from Rabbi, from Allah. My involvement in the Oromo community has been for the last 4 years, and it started through volunteering, and then I became deeply invested in the community because I saw the character and the values of your people. And through the rites of the Oromo, I feel completely adopted by your nation and your people, and I feel like my heart is as invested as yours and your family's. I see no difference in your struggle.
What?
The struggle that I have for fighting for the liberation of Oromia.
What do you mean you see no difference? What? You guys, what is going on? I cannot keep up. I'm exhausted. She said she sees no difference. I can't. Please call in. Tell us what you think. This clip was from Shabo Media, from the spokesperson on their Facebook page, and then put in the Daily Mail. Guys, I can't handle this.
I don't know. Is she making a change? Is she just jumping on? I think she's jumping on another bandwagon of another people's struggle and deciding that she has that too because she feels like it. She's just going to jump on that. I can't handle it. I love you all. Thank you for going through this journey with us. And sorry, I did so much reading. As you know, it was a lot for me to, with my dyslexia, it was a little challenging, but I'm baffled. I am baffled. We love you. You're the best listeners in the world. Bye.
Well,
what a bummer.
If you have any other Bill Gibsons out there, if you're in another country that yes. we haven't heard of your scammer, like your German Bill Gibsonhofer, send it to us.
Yes, guys, send it to us.
Yeah, you can email us at scamwowpodcast@gmail.com.
And you can call us at 347-509-9414 because I love
a phone call. Also, we have a Patreon. If you go to scamwowpodcast.com, we have a Patreon that you can choose to be at any level, whatever level represents you, whether it's Anna Delvey, Caroline Calloway, Elizabeth Holmes, whatever speaks to you the most. And you'll get exclusive access to our Patreon content, which is hot, hot, hot. Yeah, thank you for your scams.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We love you to death. Thanks, Producer Kate.
Thank you, Producer Kate. Thanks, Katie.
Okay, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.